This is Aiden O'Connell, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, and joining us today is a man who needs no introduction. You know him now from SI Fantasy, Sports Illustrated. You also know the Fantasy Dirt Show on SiriusXM. He's also the host of the Fantasy Football Forecast on Westwood One. He is, of course, Michael Fabiano. You've been seeing him on your TV for years and years and years, now on your digital screens. Fabs, what the hell is going on, brother?
Been a busy offseason, man. I just moved, bought a house, moved across the country, and now sort of settled in, and it's already football season. It's crazy, man. I mean, just time flies right now.
You moved across the country. I didn't even ask you about that. Where'd you move?
Yeah, I was in California for like 15, 16 years when I worked.
Oh, you're in Florida now.
Now I'm in Florida. Yeah. I got out of California for a lot of reasons. Yep. And enjoying it's hot as hell here, though, which I knew. I used to live in Florida. When I worked for CBS at the beginning of my career, we were in Fort Lauderdale. So I lived in, and so I know how hot it can get here. I guess the country is pretty heated up right now. Temperature wise. So it's been good, and I'm settled in, and here we go, man. I mean, training camps are opening up slowly across the league, and we're talking fantasy football. So it's a fun time of the year.
Yeah, man. You're not gonna get much sympathy from us Texas guys about the heat you guys have in Florida, man.
Oh, I know, right. Exactly. Yeah.
from what Byron told me, you know, Byron's in there in the Sarasota area, and you know, he was telling me it's like, he says pretty damn hot out there right now, though, man. So it is.
Yesterday, or the day before, I was cutting down a tree on the property because I just didn't think it was really something that I wanted on in terms of the aesthetics, and it really didn't serve any purpose. I wasn't even out there for 15 minutes, and I was soaked through my shirt,
you
dude.
Like careful,
it was ridiculous. Yeah, you got to be careful. It's so hot outside. So yeah.
As Fabiano said, man, speaking of being careful and all that outside sweatiness, man, we do have training camps opening up. There's new news that's coming in. It feels like every day we've already gotten news this morning that Nyheim Hines is going to miss the 2023 season with an offsite knee injury. You know, yesterday we had everything about, you know, Kadarius Toney leaving practice, and Amari Cooper. It's like it's already starting again, man. So we're excited to be getting into it here with Michael. We wanted to just go over a few things here. The first thing I wanted to touch on was just these picks that we like and we don't like, right? So let's look. This is what Trashman and I did on SiriusXM yesterday. I thought it was a good exercise where we just looked through the ADPs right now. And I'm going to pull up the average draft positions for PPR leagues over on Fantasy Pros. Then these are for the managed leagues, right? Because ADPs have begun to we're having to sort of shift our focus a little bit. There's been so much focus on best ball, and now it feels right. Like people are really starting to get back in the redraft, you know, in the redraft mindset. And these ADPs have shifted, just as you know, Michael, because the roster construction is just so much different in best ball. You got to draft as if you're not going to have a free agent pool available to you, as if you're not going to have trades available to you. And it's been interesting to see how some of these ADPs have shifted. So I wanted to use the ADP consensus over on Fantasy Pros. It takes into account ESPN, Sleeper, NFL.com, and RT Sports as far as the season-long managed leagues that have gone off so far. So in the first round right now is Justin Jefferson at 1, Christian McCaffrey at 2, Austin Eckler at 3, Ja'Marr Chase at 4, Cooper Kupp at 5, Travis Kelce at 6, Tyreek Hill at 7, Bijan Robinson at 8, Saquon Barkley at 9, Stephon Diggs at 10, Jonathan Taylor at 11, CeeDee Lamb at 12. That's your consensus ADP right now about how players are going off. So let's put your feet to the fire here, Michael. Who's the best pick in those first 12, and who's the worst?
It's the first round. I mean, it's hard to really come up with a worst.
It's hard to poo-poo one of those picks,
to be honest with you. Right. So what's the best? They're all good. Which one comes with the most risk right now? I mean, you could maybe argue Saquon because of the potential holdout, but from what we've seen in the past, most of these guys don't hold out very long. There's not a lot of Le'Veon Bell situations that you can go back to and look at in the past.
If you're looking for a reason not to like one of these picks, you're going to have to make a case like that. These picks are all good, you know.
Or if you're afraid that Jonathan Taylor's just not going to be as good as he was 2 years ago, with a rookie quarterback projected to be the starter in Anthony Richardson. But it's tough. Listen, you can make an argument for every one of these guys, you know, being one of the top two players at his respective position. Even Bijan Robinson. When we can look back at the running backs who've gone in the top 10 in an NFL draft over the last 10 years or so, almost every single one of them has finished in the top 10 in fantasy points in that rookie campaign, including Zeke and Saquon, who were both amazing. I mean, Saquon was one. Zeke was a rushing yardage machine, a touchdown machine. So if you like to look back at trends and the history of the NFL, and in this case, more recent history, Bijan is in a good spot to put up good numbers. And Arthur Smith needs to win or he's not going to have a job. And so I think when you draft a guy in the top 10 at running back, a position that's very undervalued, and we're seeing that play out all across the news media and on social media everywhere, you've got to use that asset, and I think you will.
Yeah, man, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to get Bijan in that running back room and not use the heck out of him with how versatile he is. But but you can't tiptoe around it. Which one is the worst? Is it Saquon?
No, I don't know if it's Saquon. You can make that argument because of the uncertainty in terms of the potential holdout.
It's Jonathan Taylor, isn't it?
And to me, it's probably either Taylor or Diggs, and I'd probably go with Taylor. But
what about Diggs? Do you not like? Relatively.
There are wide receivers that I'd prefer to have ahead of him. So, okay. I'd rather have CD, and I'd rather have AJ Brown ahead of Stephon Diggs. I think he's more of a second round pick. And Davante Adams, if Garoppolo can actually avoid injuries, and now we're hearing reports that he's been cleared for camp, but Garoppolo's always hurt. I think Diggs or Adams is an interesting debate, at this point, because if Garoppolo is not the quarterback for any part of the season, and again, we've seen Jimmy G be very prone to injuries, and he's coming off of surgery, their backups are Brian Hoyer and Nate O'Connell. I mean, that's bad. That's bad. Yeah. And I've seen Adams slip a little bit, on Fantasy Pros, he's the first pick coming off the board in a 12-team league in round two. But Diggs and Adams, I think there's a little bit of risk with, especially with Adams, with the quarterback situation in Las Vegas, if we can't get 14 plus games out of Garoppolo. But no, I mean, I like Diggs. I don't know what happened over the offseason. Something was going on internally there. Yeah. And you never know with a wide receiver and the whole diva mentality that a lot of folks tag them with, if there's going to be any issues, because down the stretch he wasn't getting targeted. That's not going to happen this upcoming season, but I still see him as more of a second rounder. I'd rather have CD, and I'd rather have AJ Brown.
Okay, it's a cockamamie topic, Michael. We came up with this on the air, and I mean it's a really hard one. but is there a pick that you like best in the first round? Is there one guy you just like, man, this is a smash, just love it?
Jamar, fourth overall. I mean, Austin Eckler's my buddy, so I love Austin, rooting for him. Third overall, the best running back in fantasy football the last few years. It's not Christian McCaffrey. It's Austin Eckler. But I've seen drafts where Jamar's going one. Yeah. And I've seen drafts where Jamar's going two. And so at four, I mean, is it a bargain? I mean, I don't know about that, but still. And I really think that Jamar could be the number one wide receiver in fantasy football this season. If you and nothing against Justin Jefferson, who's amazing. Historically, and I love to look at historical trends. Historically, go back and look at the number of yards that a player at wide receiver who's gone over 1,700 yards has regressed the following year. Like Justin Jefferson could have 1,400 yards and the same amount of touchdowns as he did last season. And that's still a pretty good decline in terms of his numbers, because he was at over 1,800 this past year. Do the math, 400 fewer yards, 40 fewer points. And the receptions would go down in that situation too as well. I'm not saying that you should be worried about Justin Jefferson, because he's amazing, but there is some room for regression. I mean, Tyreek too. He had over 1,700 yards. Like, and now I know that you were comparing a lot of 16 game schedules to 17 game schedules now, so it's a little bit different. But like, if Jefferson goes out there and has 1,450 yards and 14 touchdowns, great year. But there was a little regression in terms of the yardage. But he's a fantastic player who is going to be targeted a ton and an offense that's going to throw the ball a lot.
Michael, I mean, clearly I've had that general thought. I haven't heard it articulated that way. It's a really good point. Because if you look at just DraftKings, so Justin Jefferson's over-under for his total yards on the season is 1350.5, underdog 1395.5, Prize Picks 1399.5, his over-under.
He was over 1,800, man, last year.
His touchdowns are set at 8.5 over-under for his receiving. It's if he got what you just said, he would smash that. He would smash those overs, and it still shows a good amount of regression. So, yeah.
Yep. And I'm trying to quickly look up an article that I wrote over at Sports Illustrated because I covered all of the stuff in terms of Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill. And I will look for it here. Oh, here we go. We have seen JJ's amazing. And like, let me turn that off right now. Hang on a second. This is what happens when you bring
pull up a video. You talking about
a video. Exactly. So my apologies there. Well, I mean, everyone's trying to make money, so they got to have those videos pop up and start playing right when you go to the page. Let's look at some of the numbers. And again, JJ and Tyreek are bananas good. Okay. They're the second pair of wide receivers to have at least 1,700 yards in the same season. The first occurrence came in 2015. Julio Jones and Antonio Brown both went over 1,800 receiving yards in the same year. But just 10 receivers have produced over 1,700 yards in the Super Bowl era. Just 10. That's it. And when you look at what these players did the following year, Calvin Johnson, 2012. 1,964 yards. He averaged 122.8 yards per game. The following year, he had 1,492 yards, which is really good. Yeah. But he averaged 106 yards per game. Like, so, I mean, do the math. That's a 16-yard difference per game. And then Cooper Kupp, 1947, in that crazy year that he had with the Rams just a few years ago. He averaged 114.5 yards per game. The following year, he averaged 90.2, and then he got hurt. Julio Jones, 1871 in 2015. He averaged 116.9 yards per game. The following year, his average dropped by 10.3 yards. His fantasy points per game dropped by 4.8 yards. Jerry Rice, who is the greatest wide receiver in the history of the National Football League and fantasy football, if you played fantasy back then, 1,848 yards and averaged 115.5 yards and 25.9 points per game in 95. The following year, 1,254 yards, 78.4 yards per game, and 18.4 points per game. Really good, but he dropped 594 yards.
Yeah, that was a big one. Yep.
I mean, Antonio Brown, 1,834, averaged 114.6 yards per game in 2015. The following year, he was the last consensus number one wide receiver, the number one overall pick until Jefferson this year. But he dropped 550 yards. He averaged 85.6 yards per game. And his points per game went from 24.3 to 20.5. Like, still really good. But he regressed. Like, it's hard for these guys to go back-to-back like that. Anybody, at any position.
Especially whenever you add Jordan Addison into the picture. So, you know, he's a good player.
Better keep his foot off the damn gas pedal. I don't know what the hell he was doing with that. But
Do we not remember
Henry Ruggs? I mean,
geez, we were all 21 once, but man, that's tough. that's a tough deal.
I was never going 140 miles an hour, but I never owned a Rambo.
I mean, he was definitely going a little bit quick for my tastes. All right, so let's go to the second round here. We have Devontae Adams, AJ Brown, Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Jacobs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Tony Pollard, Josh Allen, Jalen Waddle, and Jalen Hurts. Is there one that stands out to you as the sort of stay away there?
Stay away?
Not the stay away, just the one you hate. Or just not the one you hate. Just the one that you like least. It's tough.
I get it. I understand taking the quarterbacks earlier, and I think they're going to go earlier. To me, like, going after those quarterbacks around the turn at the end of two, beginning of three. So Mahomes at 17 to me is a little bit high, even though he's great. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a little higher than I would go. But that's just me, personal preference. I don't like
taking. Oh, that's correct. What you're saying is correct. Like, it doesn't make sense to be taking these guys in the middle of round two, given the players around them.
Yeah, I mean, if the quarterbacks start coming off the board in the third round, I get it. Like, if I could get Hurts towards the end of the third round, beginning of the fourth round, I like that. If I can, I can't. Yeah, but I would never take a quarterback that high unless it's 2QB league or a super flex. I just can't do it. And then the player I like the most out of this group is probably Nick Chubb. Like, Nick Chubb has top three potential at running back.
Jeez, and Michael, you're going to start talking about this, and everybody's going to talk about this, and his ADP is going to get pushed up. It's just going to happen, isn't it?
I've seen leagues where he's been the eighth overall pick.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, there's nobody behind him. Like, what are you going to go to Jerome Ford? I mean, there's nobody behind him, and they're actually going to have a passing game this year. You know, so like defenses are going to have to remain at least somewhat honest if Deshaun Watson can be the guy who led the league in passing yards before all the off-field stuff. So, I mean, I think he's worth a first round pick. I mean, argue he's the best pure runner in the National Football League.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you see what this guy squats? Like,
I did. Oh, the video where it bit over his back.
he's a flipping beast, man. And there's no Kareem Hunt. There wasn't really a Kareem Hunt last year either. He didn't really play as much as we kind of were worried that he would, based on the previous few years. I mean, yeah, Nick Chubb there. Like, I'll take that all day long. I really will.
You want to win your fantasy draft? No, I mean, like, really. Do you really, really, really want to win your fantasy draft? Because you can win your fantasy draft with the RosterWatch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet, available at rosterwatch.com. It's the revolutionary cheat sheet to change fantasy football forever, and it's the only tool you'll need this draft season. You've heard RosterWatch live on SiriusXM Radio here on the podcasts from all the NFL training camps. Now, all you have to do is follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper using the RosterWatch cheat sheet. That's it. Three rules. An extra quality draft is guaranteed if you follow the three simple rules. Guys, it couldn't be easier. The RosterWatch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet. You can't afford to draft without it. It's available now and only at rosterwatch.com.
Let's go to the third round. That goes Breece Hall, Ramondre Stevenson, Mark Andrews, Devontae Smith, Travis Etienne, Najee Harris, T. Higgins, Chris Olave, Joe Burrow, DK Metcalf, Jahmyr Gibbs, Lamar Jackson.
So in terms of the player that I'd be the most concerned about out of that group, I am afraid the Patriots are going to sign a running back.
I think so too. I'm not sure they're going to do it, but I sure am worried about it.
It's so Patriots to do that. Like, if we look back at the past, I mean, Corey Dillon, Steven Jackson, like they like to sign like these guys who are a bit past their prime. You know, they brought in Fournette. I'd be a little bit less worried if they brought in a guy like, you know, Daryl Henderson, but I'm a little worried. You know, Zeke is still out there. Obviously Kareem Hunt's still out there. I love Ramondre. I love him. And if the situation is what it is right now, then yeah, hell yeah. I mean, take him in the third round all day long. I am a little concerned that the Patriots might go ahead and do that because they don't have any depth behind them really. Mm-hmm. You know, they released Robinson. There's just not really much, unless you love Pierre Strong, there's not really much behind him. And then Najee Harris, I've talked to people that are close to the Steelers, and understanding that he's not going to catch 70 passes again, but being in an offense where the line is going to be improved after they drafted Broderick Jones, Kenny Pickett is getting a lot of buzz. I think he's the second year quarterback to target this year as a potential sleeper. And they're going to still run the ball. And I know that Jalen Warren's in the mix too, but Najee Harris, I think, is a good pick in the third round, especially if you're getting him as like an RB2 type. Because there's no competition, really. I mean, Warren's there, but I don't think that's serious competition for touches. And the offensive line should be better. So that's one that I like. I love Olave. I think everybody loves Olave. If he doesn't have a breakout year, we're all going to be questioning ourselves. But Jahmyr Gibbs, the Lions, and again, I go back to my historical trends, and I wrote an article at SI about the curse of Barry Sanders. Think about it. every single running back the Lions have drafted in the first three rounds since Barry Sanders retired has not lived up to expectations or gotten hurt or both. Javid Best, Kevin Jones, Kevin Smith, Kerryon Johnson, DeAndre Swift, like the, you know, Michael LaShure, like the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And David Montgomery is there. Like, it's not like David Montgomery is not going to get a lot of burn. So drafting a guy in the third round as the RB14 who is going to be in the committee, and there is a back on the roster that could legitimately outscore him. I'm not saying I'm anti drafting Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm not, but that just seems too high to me.
What you're saying makes plenty of sense. I've had the same concerns about Gibbs. I've also been super worried. I've also had big time FOMO about him. When, you know, it's like that's what makes this really hard. Gibbs could end up being really, really good, but there are what if David Montgomery gets the 17 touchdowns this year? What are you going to really get out of Gibbs? Like,
you're drafting Gibbs that high, hoping he catches at least 50 balls.
Yeah.
And you know, because everyone talks about how he's very comparable to Alvin Kamara, and maybe he'll come on and be awesome. You know, I mean, Kamara's had big years when Mark Ingram was there too. So, I mean, I'm not dismissing that possibility, but it's hard for me to draft a guy that high when there's another player in the prime of his career who's been a pretty good fantasy asset at times that could potentially be better than him. And so you're all in on 50 catches for Jahmyr Gibbs if you're drafting him in the third round. You're all in on him being a pass catching machine for Jared Goff out of the backfield.
And his ADP is going to pick up because, like Michael, I know that Peter Schrager is a guy that a lot of people listen to and who can move these ADP markets. And I was just seeing on Good Morning Football, he was just saying that it's his breakout guy this year. It's his big breakout guy. So he's going to get buzz, man. He's going to be hard to afford. Is Jahmyr Gibbs. Mm-hmm. Okay, finally, let's get to the fourth round before I ask you the two big questions before we get out of here, and that'll be Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones, Deebo Samuel, Kenneth Walker, TJ Hawkinson, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, Miles Sanders, Justin Fields, Justin Herbert, Calvin Ridley, and Damian Pierce. We're getting into an area now where it feels like you can probably, you know, you can have legit criticisms of players in this.
Yeah,
you start to get here, and there are some players that might have some true wars.
Mm-hmm. So for me, the player I like the most, I mean, there's a couple. It's Mixon and Jones going to the top of the round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's good.
Where's the competition for Mixon? And I know Mixon was great 2 years ago, and last year he wasn't all that good. He had that huge, like, 50-point game against the Panthers, and that really boosted up his numbers. But they have a improved offensive line. It's one of the best offenses in the league. I'll take, if I'm going wide receiver heavy early, I'll take Joe Mixon all day long at that point. And yep, even if it, you know, I get it. He's still in the prime of his career. And so I like him. Aaron Jones should get a lot of touches in Green Bay.
Yep.
That's one of the youngest offenses in the league. I mean, in terms of the skill positions, Jordan Love's barely played in the NFL. You've got, I mean, Christian Watson and Dubs have had 1 year in the league. You know, Jaden Reed's a rookie. Their top two tight ends are rookies. I mean, that's a young offense. So
they're in a single player that's going to catch passes from Jordan Love next year, not named Josiah DeGuara, who's been in the league more than two seasons. Isn't that crazy?
It's bananas. And the guy, I keep going back to Miles Sanders. And it's a personal thing for me because Miles Sanders has burned me so much. And even though he's on a different team, I don't necessarily think that's a good thing. So, and I wrote an article over at Sports Illustrated about Miles Sanders, and you can find that over at si.com/fantasy. A lot of people are talking about how he's in Carolina now, and there's not any competition for touches, and Jalen Hurts isn't there to steal goal line opportunities. Like, okay, I get that. Jalen Hurts also got the Eagles into more goal line opportunities than most offenses. Last year, Carolina was near the bottom or at the bottom in terms of offensive plays per game. They just did not get the job done. They were not a team that scored a lot of points. And like, okay, yeah, they are different this year. Bryce Young is the quarterback. We don't necessarily know if that's going to be a good thing in year one. It may or may not be. Mm-hmm. You know, they brought in Adam Thielen, who's past his prime. They brought in DJ Chark, who's, you know, been on what, three teams in the last few years. I mean, like, I think Terrace Marshall could be the biggest sleeper in Carolina, but in terms of Miles Sanders, he's played in 57 regular season games. almost 50% of his games have resulted in 10 or fewer fantasy points in PPR leagues. In PPR leagues. So half of the games he was bad. He's been held to fewer than 15 points 40 times out of 57 games. And if you compare him to Josh Jacobs, who was drafted in the same class, Jacobs has only been held under 10 points 10 times in his career, 23%. Sanders is close to 50. 60 regular season games, so it's pretty close in terms of the comparison. Jacobs has been held to fewer than 15 points 55% of the time. Again, Miles Sanders, 72% of the time. And also, when and I pulled this stat over from Fantasy Points, Sanders was 42nd among running backs in yards after contact percentage among running backs who had 100 or more rushing attempts. That's awful. What does that mean? If the offensive line don't open holes for him, he ain't going anywhere. And the Eagles had the best offensive line in the league, and now he goes to Carolina. I'm not saying Carolina's offensive line is bad. It ain't Philadelphia, though. So I'm trying. If I could get Miles Sanders as my flex, okay, I'll take him. But as my RB2, I'm sorry, man. Like, he's way too inconsistent. Last year, 50% of his points came in four games. 50%. And the last 4 or 5 weeks were all under 7 points. And that was with the Eagles in that offense. And don't give me, well, Boston Scott, okay, every running back is going to lose some touches in the offense, you know, unless you're Derrick Henry. So I just don't see the love for Miles Sanders. I don't get it. He's an inconsistent player who can pop at times, but more often than not, he's burned you. And going to Carolina is a good thing? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the offensive line rankings, and it looks like we have Philadelphia as our number one offensive line. We have Carolina as our number 21 offensive line. So
it's a big dish, man.
Certainly something there with Miles Sanders. For me, I'm banking on the fact that Bryce Young has been a dump off and screen game kind of quarterback, and it feels like with the lack of other weapons there, it feels like Miles Sanders could be a weapon there. But I certainly. You have to recognize that he's somebody who's very much swindled you in fantasy in the past. And he's not a guy that I've really been on much. I don't mind him quite as much as you do this year, though. So we'll get to my last two questions, but I want to just, do you want to promote the draft kit at si.com and
what
you guys have going on at Fantasy Dirt? Well, like we're swinging back into fantasy season. People are going to want to hear you and Lindsay talk about all this stuff.
Right. So Fantasy Dirt is, of course, daily, Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. to 4. But we're switching to 1 to 3 in the middle of August. So keep that in mind. And then we'll be in that new time slot for the rest of the football season. And we are always having fun on that show and arguing. And even though we fight a lot, we do love each other. So don't worry about that. but we do get on each other's nerves for sure. But it's all in good fun. And hopefully people take the information and use it during their drafts. SI.com/fantasy, the draft kit. I mean, we've got tons of stuff for myself, Jen Piacenti, Craig Ellenport, Bill Enright, Kyle Wood, all kinds of stuff. Anything and everything that you need to dominate your fantasy football draft, you can find that over at SI.com/fantasy, or you can Google SI Fantasy Draft Kit. And then starting up in September, myself, Amber Theo Harris, will be on the Fantasy Football Forecast on Westwood One. You'll be able to hear that nationally across the great United States, and we'll be with you throughout the football season. I still can't believe we're almost at August. It is unbelievable how quickly time flies.
But I'm having to put together routing for the training camp tour, dude. It's crazy. Yeah, we're in the camps.
Yeah. I was putting on ESPN, and all you see is, you know, Mike Greenberg is like so Jets obsessed. It's just like Jets and Rodgers, and Garrett Wilson made an amazing catch in the back of the end zone. Oh my God.
He did make one hell of a catch.
All right. That's the one thing I don't get into. I'm like, I don't care. Guess what? You remember that Zach Wilson throw that he made at Pro Day that everyone was all about him? Guess where he is right now?
I don't know. You know what he is right now?
He's chasing moms. He ain't chasing snaps. That's for sure.
Okay. This is Michael Fabiano, man. All right. Big time stuff for this season for Fabs. All right, the big two questions. I'm sure you've already answered the first one. Who's going to bust this year? We've already talked through how cases for guys in the top four rounds who could bust. So it could be that you've already answered just a guy who you're off.
So I mean, when I give answers like this, I'm trying not to go with the low hanging fruit, because a guy has had to have a pretty good amount of success to actually be considered like a bust, or has so much overwhelming hype on him that he's getting drafted so highly that you can consider him a bust. I got to be honest with you. I'm worried about Davante Adams, and he's great. He's great. That guy's been amazing.
Yeah.
But if Garoppolo, and this is only if a Garoppolo injury happens, I'm worried about him. And I get it. Like, you know, he said, oh, you know, I put up these great numbers without Aaron Rodgers. Well, I mean, it was with Derek Carr, who you played in college with. So it's not like, and Derek Carr is not an awful quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's not Rodgers. But if, and remember, folks, I'm saying if Garoppolo misses significant time, Davante Adams could be in trouble. He could be in trouble. I'm just saying. When you look at the workload of some of the running backs that we're talking about, like, I love Derrick Henry, and I would not shy away from drafting him, but this guy is going to get as many touches as he can possibly handle, because this might be his last season in Tennessee. And so you may have a little bit concern about him. I don't know that I'd draft him in the first round. I'd probably take him in round two all day long, but I don't know if I'd take him in the first round just based on the workload. It's just, it's such a heavy work. And I know he's different than everybody else. I mean, a lot of people say he's not human. He is. I promise you he is. But I do worry about the workload a little bit. So those are the two guys that, I'm not saying I wouldn't draft them. I would draft them with a little bit of, you know, I'm my fingers are crossed. I may have to light a candle at my local Catholic church for either one of these two guys and say a prayer that they can avoid injuries or avoid their quarterbacks getting hurt.
You shouldn't have trouble finding one of those churches down there in South Florida, brother.
Oh yeah.
All right. And then, absolutely. All right. So the big question then is, who's going to smash, dude? Who do you love? Who's going to kill their ADP this year?
Based on ADP, you know, because, like, you know, I love Garrett Wilson, but he's already getting drafted high. I mean, like, you know, so it's not like, you know, oh, he's going to be a great bargain, or, you know, a lot of the younger players, you know, like a Breece Hall, who looks like he's going to be good to go. We're going to continue to keep tabs on him, Chris Olave, but they're already going really high. Mm-hmm. So a couple of the players that I like based on their ADP, and I'm going to be writing an article about this week over at SI. James Conner right now, I mean, he's going in a spot in drafts where you can consider him a pretty good bargain. And I get it. You know, he's had durability issues, but he's played in at least 13 games in three straight years. He's had 52 touchdowns over his last 5 years, and there's no competition in Arizona's backfield. Is there concern about the durability? Yeah. I mean, there is, but I mean, you know, no risk it, no biscuit. And he's the RB24 right now. So he's a flex starter in a 10-team league based on ADP. So I don't mind Connor as someone who is now starting to create builds with more wide receivers early. If I can get Joe Mixon and then James Connor in like rounds 4 or 5, okay. I've got three damn good wide receivers I drafted ahead of them, so I'd feel pretty good about that. And then the same thing is going to go with Cam Akers. Now, Cam Akers, I mean, you want to talk about a Jekyll and Hyde season. He was the RB70 in the first 8 weeks last year, RB70. And then from that point on, he was the RB15. And over the last 4 weeks of the season, he was in the top four. And listen, I know the Rams drafted, a running back. That player is not considered a massive, he is not considered, to me at least, a threat to steal touches away, significant touches away from
all you can point to is Zach Evans' good high school pedigree. It's hard to point to anything from college. Yeah.
So I'm not really concerned about Evans. I mean, like maybe Kyren Williams a little bit as a pass catcher, maybe steals a few opportunities here or there. But I mean, Cam Akers right now, I mean, he's a 25th running back off the board on mock drafts on Fantasy Football Calculator in the last like week or so. And again, if you want to begin your build with wide receivers or maybe Travis Kelce or something like that, like Akers, Mixon, Connor, like those are guys that you can go out and get, and they're not going to cost you a ton, and you could end up with a pretty good balanced starting lineup with some really good wide receivers at the top.